So just stop him. The lectures are open, and we're going to receive to welcome more people during the day. About 70 more people should come. So our topics will be changing. I wanted to talk about society and the crisis, but we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it afternoon. And now we'll talk about the group. So the wisdom of Kabbalah explains the structure of the world, how reality begins from the Big Bang, because from a higher level, and this is what physicists say, scientists, they say that a spark of energy erupted and engendered all the matter, space, and energy of this world, even the place for the universe that didn't exist before. The physicists, when they're talking along these lines, they sound like mystics. It sounds like they're saying there's a spark of energy from a higher dimension that burst into our world, created the place for our world, and started expanding and so on. And when I was younger, when I was in school, I learned that the universe simply exists. It always existed, and it just exists. Why? No reason. After 20 or 30 years, this thesis was changed. And now they think differently. But in truth, their opinion came closer to Kabbalah, because indeed, from the upper world, the spark of light went through the lower boundary of the upper world and then went into our world. So this is the upper world. And this will be the boundary. We call it in Kabbalah Machsom, barrier. And the spark erupted here and brought about the place and all the matter that exists in this world. And from this matter began to evolve the still, the vegetative, the animate level, and the human level. What is the cause for this development? The cause of this development is that we will come to a point where, after the entire development, when we reach the human degree in our world, and Kabbalists say that this begins from 1995 and onwards, will begin to ascend to our root. The root from which we came. Who's us? Who's we? Humans. So how do we do it? By precisely by connecting between us. We also said yesterday that in the upper world, the light that force created the desire. And that desire was one, and there was one state of existence, and that's called the world of Ein Sof, infinity. Then, the light indeed shattered that desire into many, many pieces. Many different pieces. And these different pieces, how are they different? They're different in that everyone has a different desire. So they feel resisting, conflicting, alienated to each other. These pieces moved apart internally from each other. They don't sense each other now, because every part is controlled by a different piece of a desire. So these sparks then fall into this world, and here in this world they build the place and matter. That's why our world is so big and different in many, many elements. And all these elements are different from each other, resisting to each other, opposing each other. That's our current state. And as we said yesterday, there's always a positive force and a negative force. On the inanimate level, the vegetative level, the animate level. So, on the speaking level, the human level, we only evolved by the negative force so far, meaning that everyone feels as an egoist and trying to benefit from this egoism as much as possible on the account of others and anything needed. And that's how we advanced and progressed throughout our entire history, meaning if our universe exists, say, 15 billion years, then the earth and the vegetative level exist for, say, 5 billion years. The animate level for, well, say a billion years ago. So, man exists only for 200,000 years. And our entire development so far is only by one force, the negative force. And Kabbalists have discovered this many years ago, and they said that this egoistic development has a limit. And that limit is around 1995. From that moment on, we begin to develop differently, where in some of us, the positive force will emerge, meaning that there will be plus and minus in a unified, combined manner in an individual, in a way that he can work with these forces. And as we mentioned yesterday, by having these both plus and minus, we'll be able to use our ego and bring ourselves to a development in the middle line, that's how it's called, where the force of the ego and the positive force of giving these two will be properly combined within us. What does it mean, properly combined? It means that when I'm here with all the others, and when we're all in an egoistic society, right, say there's me, this is me, and there's others like me, so I will be able to use the force of my ego to receive and the force of my giving to give. And everyone will do that towards the others. In that event, we are like cells in a body, where we all take part in this constant flow of giving and receiving. And then we come to a level of experience and life called eternal flow or eternal life. But this exists only in people who already feel the emergence of the positive force within them. These people feel an inclination to the wisdom of Kabbalah, and they come. They come to know that wisdom. Why? Because we are like in a force field. In this entire collective kli, the only kli that exists, which is human society, that's what it is. We are here as though in a force field of light. We mentioned yesterday that there is this inner light here that fulfills all the gaps here. We just don't feel it, but it's like a physical force field. Whether it's a gravitational field or electromagnetic or electrostatic field. So then, it follows that if I have a spiritual potential in me, charge is this plus, then I in fact begin to move in this force field towards the place where I feel my balancing point in the force field. You know, it's like an electron in an electromagnetic field. Or people who feel that in some place they feel better. So in the same way, they're also drawn according to a force field of emotions, let's say. These are all forces. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we study these forces as physical forces. In our world, we're not really aware of that. However, the people who receive the point in the heart, this positive force, they begin to move towards the place where they can receive fulfillment for that point. And that's how they come to our centers, to our group. They find us online. They think it just happens suddenly. The force that drives them to the source, where they can be guided spiritually, that force can be called angel. An angel means a force. The force of gravity is also called an angel. So that's how we come to the study of Kabbalah. And the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us that if we need to make this way back to our root, which is really what we in fact yearn for, this is what's important to us. So for that, we have to make this ascent back to our root, which is above our universe. It's in a higher dimension, what's called above the barrier. So we need to do an opposite action to what we had here. What happened here in the shattering, the breaking. What we need to do is to connect. Therefore, we grow in our world through the levels of inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human degree. And on the human degree, we also develop for many years until we come to a point where we have a huge grown ego that we just can't live with each other as we could before in previous generations. We were connected. We felt, everyone had their family and relatives and parents, children. And we knew that there was this force to rely on, that the environment of all those close to you will help you. Man used to be very connected to his family. Generally, people lived in families or tribes and with many brothers and sisters together. Today, what we're seeing is that people quickly move away from their families. The children move away from the parents. There's no connection. And any sense of connection between us is now being lost. Family also doesn't look anymore to us like something that is necessary or mandatory. A person feels that he is an individual, and that's it. I'm on my own. The will to receive has grown so much that I have no interest to care for others close to me. Even friends, friendships in the past were like clubs or groups of people together. Today, people barely have one or two friends or good friends, and they mostly live on their own. People live alone, individually, perhaps not even in their country. They feel like they can live anywhere in the world. The world is becoming very round and limitless. And that's the development of the ego that brings us to the point where, on the one hand, we lost the natural kind of instinctive animalistic level of connection that we had. You know, like animals live in groups or in clans, and we lost all of that. We came out of all of that. We found ourselves in a world that in which we're very indifferent to each other. And that's also a phase of preparation towards reconnecting without any boundaries and without any natural differences, because we have to rise from the animate degree to the human degree. And the speaking degree is structured according to completely different conditions. It's not according to the beastly or animalistic connection. So when we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, what does this connection give us? There are two things here. The people of humanity who have this awakening of the point in the heart, they're drawn forward. They're also not thinking about connecting. When a person starts studying, he doesn't have a need for that. But you learn in Kabbalah that you have to do that, because precisely through the connection between us, we ascend and transcend the barrier. And when we do, then above the barrier, we reach a mutual connection, unity, unidos. From the beginning, after the barrier, until we come to complete connection, from 0% to 100%, there are 125 steps. In which we need to ascend, to rise. And all the path there, from the moment we come to the group and we begin to study, and we somehow try to connect, then this is called the phase of preparation. Which Kabbalah says could take 3 to 5 years. Could be more. And that's because this preparation phase is critical. Without this, a person has no orientation and he doesn't know where he's going. He has to build himself, prepare himself for the sensation of the spiritual world. He has to build a correct environment and begin to sense it and advance with it. And the advancement is in the connection between people, to become one again, just like here, just like it was in the world of Ein Sof, the state where everything was one. We were all like one, filled with one light. And to us, it's very hard to cope with the egoistic desire in order to begin to do that. That's why human society is divided into two parts. A small part of those who have the point in the heart, that's us, that's we, and a part of all the others, those who don't have a point in the heart. They only have a sense of the corporeal life. Only this negative force. And we have both negative and positive force. Two forces. The others have a powerful egoistic desire. we are drawn forward by building a connection between us, between our ego and our positive desire developed by the study, by absorbing the strength from others through the environment. And building a connection between us called the middle line, which in fact is built from these two forces, and so on. So that's us. The others join us each time because they have no choice. That's what Kabbalah explains, that they will come to join us for lack of a better choice. Why? Because their ego will suffer. This ego constantly wants to absorb and receive a certain fulfillment. And this is how it evolved all the time. It thought that it can keep growing and fulfill itself. But it now came to a point where it's hopeless in fulfilling itself. And it enters a crisis. And this is what pushes them to go closer to us. They don't know exactly how it happens and what happens, but in order to make this easier, an easier process, we also have to spread the wisdom of Kabbalah among them, to explain that there is a method by which to correct the crisis. And then they'll join us, and together, we will take all this part, which I now am highlighting in yellow. All of this part will attach it, join it to ourselves, and bring them with us together to the middle line. And that's how we will once more reach the world of Ein Sof. Correction. What do we get by that? Eternity, perfection, above our reality, above that point of the Big Bang, from which our universe was created, and then we go back to the upper reality above it. And this is our time now, a time when we also become millions of people in the world, millions who have the point in the heart in addition to the ego, and other people who don't have the point in the heart in addition to their ego. What they get now is a sense of the crisis, a sensation that they lack this positive force. I'm putting it here aside. They don't have it. They can't live without it. They can't exist. They know that the crisis needs to be fixed, corrected. These people already exist. People who feel, who know that unity, connection is the solution. However, they just can't see how it's possible to create a connection in this global integral crisis where everything literally needs to be one. This is what nature is showing us today. What is nature showing us? Nature shows us that we must reach the world of Ein Sof, where everything is one. This is what the crisis shows to us. Behind the scenes, this is what it's pointing to. This is what it aims us towards. So those people who have to push humanity forward towards the purpose that this crisis is pointing to, those people receive the point in the heart, this positive force that we can extract through the group, through the study, and then with it, go forward independently towards the goal. Towards the world of Ein Sof. And the ego, this crisis that doesn't provide the force of connection, they only discover that they lack this force of connection, this force of bestowal. They will gradually receive guidance from us, connect to us, and then together we'll reach the same goal. So we have to realize that the entire crisis that we are experiencing now is really pointing to the lack of unity. Because what is the crisis saying? It's saying that we are in a global world. And that we are completely, totally egoistic. We're individualists. And that's really the problem. The world is global, and this is something nature is showing us now. And the fact that we are individualists is what our nature shows us. So then we are in the contrast between these two, between one and two. There's a big gap between these two, that these two things are opposite. And this gap is what's felt in us as a crisis. That's why in every realm of human engagement, we'll have to feel pain, confusion, vagueness, lack of health, lack of success, imbalance. Everything that really stems from inequivalence, imbalance with between our desire and the upper light. And therefore, we should look at the crisis as a turning point, the initial point of ascension of the entire humanity to a new special state, a state from which we once descended. We went down from that state forcefully. It was only in our informative layer and a small portion of us. So then we came down to this world and started developing, and now we're going back to that eternal perfect state. So, what's clear here is this. This part called we, us, is developing by these two forces, and there is the system of the group and the study and the teacher. And that's how we evolve. The second part, the others, they evolve to the point that they feel that the crisis is unbearable. And here there's a big problem, because what's an unbearable crisis? Humanity may enter wars, annihilations, big problems, and we see that these things happen. One part of people starts just using drugs, the other become terrorists, another part is people who just have these outbreaks of egoism, stealing, robbing, killing, not knowing what to do because there's a lack of fulfillment that they feel internally. Everyone feels that. We should see all the negative phenomena in humanity as lack of fulfillment, dissatisfaction, despair. People aren't guilty of that, really. They have these inner urges that take them out to the streets and doing all kinds of things and erupting. So what do we do in order to make it easier on them? So we spoke about dissemination. This is really the Savior. If we spread the wisdom of Kabbalah before they begin to erupt and break out because of their pressure, then we can prevent the world from entering huge troubles. So now the question is, how does this upper group develops? And everything depends on it. The world is not in charge of anything. We have nothing to expect from the people without the point in the heart, because they just don't have this point here, this force with which to complement their ego. They are just carriers of the great desire. They're only adding their desire, their deficit, their sorrow, and we need to process it to digest this huge desire, to be integrated with it, and continue forward in our connection, in our study, in our dissemination back to them, and especially in how to connect together, because connecting all this massive kli can only happen by us. There is a big broken kli, but this broken kli also has parts that are connected to each other. Although they each belong to different aspects of the will to receive, still there's a connection between them. So then, if the others unite with them, they also enter that connection. So there is a part of humanity that makes the active connection, that's us, and there's the other part of humanity that makes this passive connection, those who join us. So how do we make the active connection between us? This is really the problem, because as we see from all the various indications, this is what it's all about. This is what everything depends on. If we know how to connect between ourselves, then we go back to this world of Ensof, infinity, where we're all connected together as one. And then we come to perfect eternal life. Kabbalists explain to us, those who already went through the path, they don't know anything just as an epiphany. They are people who simply discovered what we're about to discover, and they're simply people just like us, only they already went through this path. We are, say, like little children, unaware of the world, and they already discovered, found, attained, felt it, and therefore they can help us as guides, teachers. So what are they saying? They're saying, once we begin to connect, just as we drew here, only these red pieces here, right? Those who have the point in the heart. So, what happens is this. We are in a collective humanity. And some parts, some pieces feel that they long towards discovering a higher state. This question appears in them. The question about the discovery of the upper world appears in the people as a question of, what am I living for? What is the meaning of life? Because in our world, in the level of our world, they don't feel that there's a goal here. What do I live for? Just sustaining my body in a more or less comfortable way? It's not living. I can't live like an animal that simply keeps itself alive and stays happy with that and doesn't want anything more than that. I want to be more than that. How do I come to that? Knowing what I live for, what's the purpose, what is the process, can I influence my fate, what am I coming to? I'm going to die for sure. If I was born, I'm going to die as well. But what's the result of all that? Is there something beyond this death? And people have evolved and developed all kinds of theories about heaven and hell and all sorts of imaginations. Is that even correct or not? If I live as an animal in this world, why should there be anything after that? It's just like we slaughter beasts, animals, and eat them. Well, why is man different if he also lives and dies like an animal? What did a person do in his life besides sustaining his body in the most loyal way possible, as much as one can? So there is no difference or advantage of between the man and the animal. People who ask this kind of questions are people with a point in the heart, people who can't settle for the regular life we have. They need to know the reason, both for life and for everything that's going on, for nature, the universe, how it all works out, and what's the goal. they find themselves coming to a place, it's like we mentioned before, in this entire system lies the upper light, the light which fulfilled these parts. And it's both the pieces that I didn't draw here. I should have added the other parts. Meaning that everything here is completely divided into many, many, many parts that I just didn't add in the sketch. Because these other pieces belong to the pieces of the desires that don't have this point in the heart, this red point. They don't ask, why do I live for? That's why I didn't add them to the drawing. I'm only relating to these red pieces here, those with the point in the heart. So, what do we do with us, in short? And we live in this entire mix of billions of people who, as we said before, feel that there's only a crisis, and therefore they ask, what's the point? But their question of what's going on is simply because they want to live better. They want to have a better life. We are asking what is the point in life because we want to know the secret to life. Why live in general? That's the difference. So, the upper light, this yellow that I added here, it brings us towards connection, although we are very far physically from each other. That's also why the communication and the internet has developed in the world, in order to allow us to better connect between us. And then when we find each other and begin to make connections in all kinds of ways, then it turns out that we are creating a system here, a system which ties everyone just like a fishnet, and it captures everyone. If we work between us correctly, and we disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to them, and we spread the wisdom of Kabbalah among them, then they will also eventually join us. They'll connect to us for lack of other choice, because we have the solution to this crisis, and they don't, because we know how to connect, and they don't, because they lack the positive force, that point in the heart. So this is with respect to the rest of the world, but with respect to ourselves, how do we work as a group, in the group, in order to really make the connection between us? Kabbalists say that everyone who really wants to connect with the others doesn't just really need to, you know other people like people know each other in this world. What they need to do is to nullify themselves before the others. How do you say nullification? Annulación.
Annulación. With an E? Okay, annulation. So, if each one annuls himself towards the others, and receives from the others a desire to reach the goal, how should I call this? The importance of the goal. Importance, okay. Importancia de la meta. Okay. So we'll receive from the others the importance of the goal. With that force that he received from the others, if one takes that force he received from the friends, and with it he yearns to move forward, that is considered that he is yearning with his own force, because he gained it by nullifying himself towards the others, towards the group. And that is why it is his. And only with his force that he received from the group, this upliftment, this warmth, this sense of necessity, with that he yearns to move forward. And then he begins to take steps forward. So we have the work on two different levels here, two different planes. One, annulación, and two, importancia de la meta. Meaning, in nullifying himself towards the environment, the group, and in receiving the importance of the goal from the environment, from the group. And with this force, we move forward. How do you write move forward? Ir adelante. Move forward. Now, the whole world is now learning Spanish. Okay. So what do we find when we yearn for the goal? What is the goal? So from this first illustration here, we find that the goal is one, to be one. Meaning to unite among us in such a way that everything in this circle here will be as one whole. Unos. Unos no, una. So, in short, one. So, that is the goal, that's the purpose. Meaning, if I look from within myself, let's say, this is me. Like that. And I have in front of me a group. So how do I move forward toward them? I constantly need to nullify myself. However, we know that on the one side there is the great ego, that he's constantly growing. How much can it grow? It has 125 portions. And alongside with that, with the ego that comes to me, I need to annul myself. Anulación. Okay. What did you say? Well, you used a different word?
Anularme.
Okay. So if I annul myself, so from the other side, I receive also here there are 125 portions of light. The positive force, bestowal. And then, in the right combination between them, I advance each time one portion. And also here, there are 125, but here it's not portions, it is steps. Pasos? Okay, pasos. So 125 steps. From the state of being disconnected from the others, that's zero, until I'm connected completely 100%, which is called the Gmar Atikun, the end of correction. How do you say it again? Gmar Atikun, end of correction? Okay. So, that's how you reach the end of correction, meaning you rise 125 degrees between the others and myself until I come closer and closer to them. So, what are these 125 degrees? I begin to feel that the closer I get to them, on the one hand, this great desire comes to me. And on the other hand, greater light comes to me. I begin to receive in the expansion of this light in the desire, in me, I begin to get the sensation of the reality which is above this world, outside of me, outside of my ego. So what I find here in these 125 portions, degrees, here I discover the upper world. This upper world is divided to degrees. In it, well, that's what they're called, worlds, Partsufim and Sfirot. meaning from the level that I begin at until the level, the degree of the end of correction, there is so there are five worlds that in each one of them there are 5 degrees. The world of Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, Atzilut, and Adam Kadmon, Ak. Until you reach the world of Ensof, Olam Ensof. And in each Olam, there are 5 Partsufim. So, 5 Partsufim. And in each Partsuf, so 1 Partsuf has 5 Sfirot, which are called Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zeir Anpin, and Malchut. I don't know exactly how to spell it here. Well, each time you spell it differently. But it doesn't matter to us. So we have 5 spherot that each time unite to one structure called a partsuf, and the partsufim connect to a structure called a olam, a world, and these worlds connect to this structure called Sulam HaMadrigot, the ladder of degrees. Sulam. Sulam means ladder. And we rise from this world until the world of Ensof. Where do I find these things? Between myself, yo, to my friend. So, now it's yo, yesterday it was something else. Oh, two. Okay, amigo, alright, fine. So that's it. Meaning, there is a general law of our entire correction, which is called love the others as you love yourself. And that is a law. It is a great kli, a great vessel, a place for the light to be revealed in. And that is what is happening. So therefore, either connect, so connecting or reaching the upper world is really one of the same. The only difference is that the connection among us creates this great big desire, and what is discovered in that desire is this great upper light, this light that we always colored yellow. It also exists now, but it exists in a concealed manner. And if we will unite, then we'll discover it in reality.
זה בעצם הנושא
That is actually the topic of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That is its connection with us, with the entire world, and with the process that we now have to realize upon ourselves. That up until now, in all of this long history, before the Big Bang, and 15 billion years later, after everything's already evolved, including our history on the planet, all of that was in order for us to sit here in Madrid and to start uniting among us. And by that, we will return from above our world to the world of Ein Sof. And of course, we have a lot to study, also width and also depth. But everything is in front of you, so hopefully we will realize it. Questions?
No? Translate, Kate. Repeat, please.
Carlos from Spain.
Yes, I know him. Who doesn't know him? Either through the guitar or through the heart. Yes.
You said that our work in the group is to nullify before each other. Then he said, on the other hand, that we also have to relate to humanity, and that humanity can either advance by suffering or by our bestowal upon them. The question is, how to implement this bestowal upon humanity in order to elevate them? What's our role in that? What's our function in that?
We'll talk about that separately. It's something which is not simple. I want to explain about how it seems to me, how this process seems to me. In this process, there are many questions. It's not written in a clear, elaborated manner, but the way I see it, and unfortunately I have no one to consult with in our generation. And according to what I'll see, that's what I'll tell you. But this is a completely different topic regarding the correction of the world, how we should do it, how it should be done. So that's next lesson. Yes, please.
Esta importancia de la meta es en realidad un deseo de reemplazar estos deseos egoístas que tenemos, que tendría que, tengo entendido que no somos capaces nosotros propiamente de cambiar
O sea, este es anularnos significa hacer crecer este deseo de forma tal que llegue el momento en que tengamos que pedirle al Creador que nos envíe esa posibilidad de cambiar el deseo egoísta por el deseo de otorgar. ¿En qué forma tiene que avanzar esa anulación hasta este nivel en que todo el grupo llegue a este punto, o si es un proceso individual, a cada persona, a pesar de estar en el grupo, le va a llegar ese punto en el que tiene que solicitar esa plegaria desde el fondo de su corazón?
Hello, my name is Samuel from Colombia. You spoke about the work in the group being the annulment and the importance of the goal. Does annulment mean that we need to change, replace our egoistic desire in order to advance to the goal and reach the man, meaning that the work in self-annulment is to the point that we have the man to replace our egoistic desires and to raise them? And so it's still an individual process for each and every one. So what do we do in that state in order to have this man collectively from all the group together?
We don't cancel our ego, that it doesn't exist. In such a way that it doesn't exist. We don't erase it, like it doesn't exist. The ego purposely grows in order for us to work together with it in bestowal towards the others. Ego is our fuel, it's a great force. That's why it's written, he who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater as well. We don't break it, but all of man's tendencies, inclinations, no matter how bad they are, they can be bad. All of that is revealed in him for the correction. How do I use it? For my own benefit or for the benefit of the others? And that is the entire difference between the bad ego and the good desire, between the quality of reception to the quality of bestowal. But the desire, the will, remains a will. Therefore, all of our desires, all of our wills, regardless which, we only need to direct them, to the benefit of the group, the benefit of the friends. Later on, it will be to the benefit of humanity. And to the extent I do it, I receive fulfillment from the upper system. And then the light flows through me, and it's completely independent of how my group understands it or does not, how great or small my group is, how high spiritually it is or not. Because also now, we are in that same world of Ensof. In the world of Ensof. That in it, there are many pieces, many parts, connected together. But later on, they went through shattering and all this process, but it's still in the same place, it's in the same world, it's in the same reality. You can resemble it to So there are different states. This is this world. This is the world of Asiya. Yetzira. Bria. Atzilut.
Adam Kadmon.
Adam Kadmon.
Ensof.
Ensof. And actually, all of these states, 125
degrees,
it all exists with respect to man. It's all with respect to human being. It doesn't exist. All these worlds don't actually exist, but only the world of Ein Sof does. It is the only one that was created and the only one that exists. All the rest of them, they are the same world of Ein Sof, which concealed itself slightly. It's like it dims the light a little bit and a little more. And to the extent it dims this light, light is the force of love and bestowal, then there are greater differences discovered between the different parts, that they're more distant until they begin to reach a state that they hate each other. They want to become distant from each other and to such a state that they don't take the others into consideration. And it reaches such an extent until it reaches our world. And then there's the opposite. If we nullify each one nullifies his ego to be an individual and wants to be together with the friends, and by the study we attract the light upon us. This light which shines begins to ignite this light. It begins to turn up this love and bestowal between us. And then we begin to feel that we want to come closer, we want to connect, that there is something in this connection of ours, that by this connection we will discover more light, more of this force of love and bestowal. We begin to see it as important. And that's how we advance. So also now we are in the world of Ein Sof, of infinity, but instead we feel this reality, the worst reality possible. And it's in our ability to draw the light that reforms for goodness, and that is our entire work. Yes, please.
Buenos días, maestro. Soy Virgilio del grupo de Barcelona. Mi pregunta es la siguiente. Según la ciencia de la Cábala, después del rompimiento de Adán Cambón, las almas descienden, cruzan la barrera del Maxón y bajan a la percepción de un mundo físico. Y a una formación del universo. El universo entendemos que es inmenso. Entonces mi pregunta es, ¿por qué lo percibimos tan inmenso? ¿Es que la partición de las almas descendieron a un solo mundo, el que percibimos nosotros como físico, y a otros mundos del universo? Y de no ser así, y si todos estamos concentrados en el mundo que ahora percibimos, ¿por qué la razón de percibir un universo tan inmenso? Gracias.
¿Puedes repetir la última parte, por favor?
Sí, la última parte es, si todos estamos concentrados, la partición de Adán Kadmon, en un único mundo físico que así percibimos, si todos estamos aquí, ¿por qué tenemos que percibir el universo con tanta inmensidad?
Our friend is from Barcelona and he describes reviewed the construction of the worlds and the descent of the souls into this world. So he says, if all the souls are here, why do we feel the universe, the world, that is something so vast? Meaning, if all the souls are here in this world, why do we see it in our perception as such a vast universe?
The world is depicted like that in my vessel. In in the world of Ein Sof, you feel one reality. In our world, we feel the I and the reality which is outside of me. That is the force of the ego, the force of the shattering which works that way. To the extent that I nullify this force of shattering, I begin to see the world which is entirely within me, which is not outside. There is nothing outside of me, but it's all in me. And all that seems outside, it's just an illusion. My ego depicts it that way, that same image. So therefore, you shouldn't ask about the outside world. It's a replica of my inner shattering. 125 degrees that I start correcting myself through to connect to the others. Then to the extent I do connect to them, I begin to feel them within me, inside. And this sensation is true, because other than me, there is nothing. You can say the following: what I feel outside of me, still vegetative, animate human beings, this entire universe, it is all inseparable parts of myself. It is all my body. It is all my soul. It's the body of my soul. But why do I feel them that way? Because of my ego. To the extent that I nullify my egoistic approach to these external affairs and I penetrate them into my heart, then I suddenly feel that is me. And by that I feel part of myself outside. So in my desires of the still vegetative animate and speaking, they'll be presented to me, they'll be demonstrated, they'll be demonstrated as the still vegetative and animate and speaking that exist in reality. But in truth, nothing exists. Only my desires, which now depict in my brain that this is how the world exists and looks. There's an entire science about this. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's in a section called Perception of Reality. There's a lot of material on it, and also in my lectures you can find. So if you want.
Please.
Yes, please.
Buenos días, Rav. Soy Marcelo de Madrid. Mi duda es algo más básica. Se ha explicado el tema de la barrera y luego los peldaños que hay que subir una vez rebasada dicha barrera, pero yo particularmente, no sé de los demás, todavía estoy por debajo de la barrera, o sea, me siento como en una cueva oscura y buscando una salida que sé que estará por, más allá de la barrera. La pregunta es, ¿cómo me doy cuenta o nos damos cuenta en el caso del grupo, de que me estoy acercando a la barrera y cómo se percibe el paso, en qué momento puedo decir, ups, la he pasado, que ya estoy más allá de la barrera y sí puedo empezar a trabajar los 125 peldaños? Gracias.
Shalom, ani Marcelo, mi Madrid.
Hello, I'm Marcelo from Madrid. You described the entire process of preparation and the transcendence above the Machsom and the 125 degrees. Now, I don't know about the others, but I at least didn't reach this degree yet, and I feel like I'm in a dark cave. So how do I know if through my work in the group, I'm progressing towards the barrier, and how do I know when I cross it? And that I can start the work of the 125 steps.
All of our work is within the desire, meaning it's felt within us, in the emotion, in the sensations of the heart, in the understanding, meaning in our brain. So what happens with our emotions? The brain develops only to the extent the desire develops, because it helps the desire understand how to achieve what it wants to achieve. Therefore, a small desire, a small mind, a big desire, big mind. That's why sufferings increase man's wisdom. So how do we know if we're advancing or not? There are clear signs of it. But we have to measure these signs above our ego. We have to be objective. I have to look at myself like from the side. If we know that I have to annul to the group, and this is me, so to the extent I annul myself towards the group, I can receive the importance of spirituality towards the group. And with this importance that I receive, with that I can rise, only with that. So just like that. So that is one thing. According to that, I can examine, I can check. Now, later on, if we know that our advancement is between two lines, which one of them is the ego, and the other one is the force of the light, bestowal, and I'm here, that I have to construct myself from these two forces, to the extent I receive this evil force, the ego, which is a minus, that is a sign that I'm capable of working with it and advancing. And then I only need to work with a group here to annul myself. That's number one. Two, to receive from them the force, the importance of the goal. And then to continue this strength, this force that I received from them, in order to receive this positive force. Meaning, from here, I reach this positive force. And then if I understand how to advance correctly, then objectively I understand. Why objectively? Because the moment I feel the moment I feel my ego, which grows every time, then I feel bad, I have a bad feeling. And here I have to rise above this feeling, and I have to understand that I've been given this additional evil in order to advance another degree. That is why, in order for a person to examine, to be his own judge, He must not be bribed by his own sensations, but only to see himself, if he to examine if he is receiving different data to advance with. And if it's pleasant or unpleasant, that's not important to him. And even the opposite. The more unpleasant it is, the better. Because then he's not bribed. He can look at it from the side. He can work with it according to what is required. So in order to remain, to hold oneself in the state of objective scrutiny, that is the most important. But it's said in many articles, we always read it in the first part of the lesson, the daily Kabbalah lesson. Yes, last one. Or how much do we have? Yes, please.
Please.
Okay. Good morning. Buen día. Mi nombre es Gerardo, soy de Argentina, pero estudio en Londres, con el grupo de Londres. Y mi pregunta es sobre la anulación, qué significa realmente anularse, si hay algún ejemplo, si hay ejemplos en los que uno lo pueda entender mejor. Y si es un estado permanente al que uno debe llegar, ¿no? Mantenerse anulado, si...
Hello, my name is Gerardo from Argentina, but I actually come study with the London group.
Pardon? Say again?
The London group. My name is Gerardo, originally from Argentina, but studying with the London group. And his name is Gerardo, and he's asking about the nullification, the self-annulment. What exactly is this issue of annulment in the group, and is it a state that you really have to start living, meaning is it a permanent state?
Meaning, towards which discernment does one have to annul themselves? Only against the importance, only regarding the importance of the goal. It's not that I nullify myself in any topic and the group is just in control of me. No. But towards the importance of the goal, the desire to reach the goal, regarding that, I always have to see the friends as great in order to receive from them the importance of the goal, the attraction towards the goal, and then I'll have the strength to advance. Because in my advancement, in my personal advancement, I have only the point in the heart. Sorry, here. I have only the point in the heart, and all the rest of the forces for advancement I receive from the others, and never from myself. That is why this nullification has to be only towards the importance of the goal. La meta, I'll write it here. Nullification. Okay? Yes, please. There's last question, we have time.
Rav, sorry, he also asked for a concrete example, if you can provide one. An example for annulment.
A concrete example? I can argue with them about different things that are in the group, about the order of the group, about dissemination, but regarding the importance of the goal regarding the fact that we have to unite. I have to be there in a hug, in connection with them, in nullification towards them. I'll give you an example. I'm shouting and cursing and I do it towards the students that they're not doing it properly, they're not maintaining the place properly, they're not disseminating correctly, all these things. I shout and yell at them. All of that has nothing to do directly with spiritual advancement, not towards the importance of the goal. Regarding the importance of the goal, I hug them. One moment I shout at them, and the next moment, if it talks about the importance of the goal, connection, unity, I hug them. One has nothing to do with the other. I could not agree, let's say, with the maintenance of the place, with different duties, and I can argue, meaning I don't annul myself. But let's scrutinize. Can we scrutinize? Okay, if not, then we'll turn to our coordinator. Let's see what he says. But regarding attaining the goal, regarding connection of the group, the importance of the goal, the importance of the friends, I annul myself with my head down. Hold on, there's another question the Mrs. wants to ask.
She's translating from Russian to Spanish.
Okay. Hebrew.
Isn't it too much to speak about the machsom, the barrier? Perhaps it's a mistake to talk about it too much, because maybe we'll get confused and replace this as in terms of the goal for our path.
Of course, the machsom is the goal. If I'm in this world, then the machsom is my next degree. If I'm in grade 1, then my goal is to move on to grade 2, then to grade 3. Not to jump from the first grade to the last. Although, of course, I can say that I yearn for it and I want it. But in truth, we don't really have a yearning for it. I wish that we'll understand what the machsom is and we'll want to be in it. A machsom is a degree that I'm finally willing, to the extent that I'm in this world with all my desires, I'm willing to nullify all of them towards attaining bestowal. Then the desire will grow in the first spiritual degree, second, third, and there I'll also have to nullify myself. But the first degree is the most important. That is called the spiritual birth. That is why I think that it should be the goal for us. However, he is right regarding the fact that holding on to this final stage that also has to be an indication. And that's what it says, that it has to be me, the group, and the study as a means, and the world of Ein Sof, Ein Sof, the world of infinity. They all have to be as one. This is how I advance. But the machsom, the barrier, that is the first degree. That is the malchut rising to Bina. So malchut, which rises to Bina, and there acquires its quality for the first time. It is something great. You immediately begin to feel the spiritual world. And from then and onwards, you already know what you're doing. You see, in the books you read, you see what they're talking about. It's like you're out there and you have this book, which is like a map. And you read the book, and it's as a map to you, it guides you. It's like when you're traveling. And then you receive these forces. So friends, I feel that many, many people are connected to us from all over the world. And that is according to the forces you were able to bring out of me. It's like many, many babies feeding from the mother. That's how I feel myself. Empty. I wish you all the best.
La la la.